Matthew chapter 13, verses 1 through 23. The same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the seaside, and great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat. And the whole multitude stood on the shore. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places, where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But others fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. And the disciples came and said unto him, Why speakest thou unto them in parables? He answered and said unto them, Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whomsoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that he hath. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing, see not, and hearing, they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, By hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which ye see, and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear, and have not heard them. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom, and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one, and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which received seed by the wayside. But he that received the seed in stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it, yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. He also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. But he that receiveth seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some hundredfold, some 60, some 30. That's our lesson today. Let's pray and we'll begin. Last time I had an opportunity to speak with you, we finished the 12th chapter, and there were a number of things there that I just want you to recall. First of all, the Lord told us that the scribes and Pharisees had come to him asking for a sign. And he told them, no sign will be given you but the sign of the prophet Jonas. As Jonas was in the belly of the whale 3 days and three nights, even so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. You remember we discussed the meaning of the heart of the earth. We considered the Lord's words about the unclean spirit, the demonic spirits, devils, that take unbelieving people at their will and come and go as they wish. This one had left the man, went out looking for rest, didn't find it, come back, and while he was gone, the man had turned over a new leaf. He wasn't saved. He turned over a new leaf. He became moral. His house was clean, swept and garnished. But the demon was fixed on devilment and took with him seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and went in and possessed the man, and the end was worse than the beginning. Jesus said, so shall it also be unto this present generation, speaking about the Jewish nation who had rejected him as the Messiah and the King of the kingdom. Last of all, we saw that the Lord told us that spiritual brothers and sisters are far more important than even family members. How many new brothers and sisters do we have? How many mothers? How many fathers? How many children? I can say this has been one of the great blessings of my life. And I can imagine what the Lord meant by that. He that does the will of the Father, the same is my mother, my sister, my brethren. Now we come to this chapter. Chapter 13. So this 13th chapter begins a long discussion about the kingdom of heaven. In the first 52 verses, it talks about the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. And I hope that you will avail yourself to this and try to pray to the Lord to help you to grasp what he's talking about. This is the beginning of that chapter as we read the parable of the sower. And we're going to discuss that here today. So Jesus had gone out of the house where he'd been preaching and working miracles. Evidently, that was still in Galilee, since it was by the sea coast, that is, the Sea of Galilee. And he sat by the seaside. Great multitudes were gathered to him. He was so many people there that he went out into a little ship and sat down, and the multitude stood on the shore. This would be his manner of speaking to them. So it says he spake many things unto them in parables. What is a parable? It's a comparison. It's a similitude. It's a saying or a narration in which something is expressed in terms of something else. And that's what we see in this parable of the sower. So Jesus said, "Behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside. And the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places, where they had not much earth. And forthwith they sprung up, and because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched. And because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But other fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. I won't read these, but I thought you know, both Mark and Luke record the parable of the sower. Mark in chapter 4, verses 1 through 20, and Luke chapter 8, verses 4 through 15. Jesus, having said this about the sower, said, "Who hath ears to hear, let him hear." Don't you think all that multitude had these? They did. But there were ears that were missing in some. That is the ability to hear spiritual things. Amazing to me, this exact expression is found exactly 8 times in the New Testament. All know what the number 8 stands for, right? Stand for the new birth. Without the new birth, no one can have ears to hear and understand spiritual truth, because they're foolishness to him. He's only a natural man. And to the natural man, the things of God are foolishness. So upon Jesus saying that, the disciples came and said unto him, "Why speakest thou unto them in parables?" Mark tells us that the 12 came and asked him, "Why do you do this?" I've had people say to me, "It'd be better, preacher, if you talk to us in similes. If you tell stories that kind of make things plainer." Was that what Jesus was doing? Not quite. Not quite. He answered and said to them, because it is given unto you, my disciples, to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. But to them, it's not given. Thank God that he gave some of us ears to hear and understand. What a precious thing. But to many, I used to get in trouble with an old Dutch woman every time I'd say this. The most of the people are not going to hear it. Jesus said, straight is the gate, narrow the way that leads unto life, and few there be that find it. Sister Grace used to come and grab me and said, Betty King, you mean the devil's going to have the most? I said, that's what the Lord said. Whatever his will is. But she could hardly stand it. He's going to have the most. She didn't yet grasp the doctrines of grace. I think she began to a few years before she died. What a blessing that was. I baptized her when she was 92. She'd been saved, she said, since she was 16. They started attending the church, and she said, I'm about to be baptized. And so, what a blessing that was for the church. 92. She's older than you. Anyone? Old man. God, to have Bill Tullis with us today. Praise the Lord. So, it's given unto some and not to others. The Lord has given his children understanding. First, to know themselves as sinners before God, and then to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior and Lord. Notice then verse 12. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that he hath. What a wonderful statement. You grab this, you understand what he's talking about. Whosoever hath what? Has the true grace of God implanted in him. A spiritual acquaintance with the doctrine of the gospel of the kingdom. He or she is going to have more grace given and will grow in the knowledge of Christ. And the Spirit will continue to lead that one into all truth. And he'll have more abundance. Such a person receives enlightenment. The scriptures are precious, and he gains from hearing them. This is a person that goes on to obey the Lord and follow him and grow in grace. So he'll have a fuller and clearer, a more distinct knowledge of Christ and the thing that concern Christ's kingdom. But it's so sad on the other side as you think about people that do not know the Lord and who do not have salvation or enlightenment. Jesus said, "Whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that he hath." Or, as Luke expresses it, what he seemed to have. Let me tell you, dear one, the things that we hold in our hands or that we control in this life are simply gifts from God. It's not ours. Oh, people like to call land by their names. Had some foolish man tell one of the ladies in a church years ago that this place up here is called Leonville, and I wanted to throw up. People name their land after them because they think it's going to go on and on and on and on. No. Whatever is given us is God's blessing. And since a natural man, the unbelieving man, is at his very best state, altogether vanity. Nothing of him or in him is going to endure. In the very day this man draws his last breath, his thoughts perish. His hopes are dashed. His expectations, things he held dear in this life, are all disappeared. In short, he's stripped of all, everything, life, health, feelings, earthly knowledge, houses, land, earthly possession, and hope is gone. Everything he seemed to have is taken away. The psalmist said, "Put not your trust in princes, nor in the son of man in whom there's no help. His breath goeth forth, he returns to his earth. In that very day his thoughts perish." Job said, "Man dieth and wasteth away. He gives up the ghost. And where is he? Has no hope." It's sure. Just as sure as we're a son of Adam that we're going back to the dust. Verse 13, the Lord said, "Therefore," that is, "for this reason, speak I to them in parables, because they seeing not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. This is why I speak to them in this way. They think they see, they claim they see. Some of them saw Christ in his body, with their bodily eyes, but not with the eye of faith. They saw the miracles he did, but they didn't understand. They didn't know he was the Messiah. They heard externally, but they didn't hear internally. They heard the sound of Christ's voice, but they didn't understand his words. Even when he spoke in the most plain and most intelligent manner, they didn't know what he was talking about. He spake in this way so that what he said might remain sealed and hidden to them. I don't know how you see this, but God elected before the foundation of the world a people to be saved. The rest are reprobates. And that's what these people are. Jesus said, in them who don't hear, who can't see, is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which said, by hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. That came from the book of Isaiah, chapter 6, verses 9 and 10. Verse 16 begins with, but. Thank God for the but. But, on the other hand, blessed are your eyes, his people, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. What a happiness to see Christ in the flesh, but to see him as he was, the Son of the living God. God in human flesh. The Messiah, the King of the kingdom of heaven. Oh, they heard him. They understood him. And it was, they agreed with him and who he was and decided, because he moved in their heart, to follow him wherever he led them and believe his word and obey him. Notice that Jesus said in verse 17, for verily I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which you see and have not seen them, and to hear those things which you hear and have not heard them. I think the Lord added these words as a cause of rejoicing, because they had the privilege while others had looked for it and never saw it. Luke says prophets and kings. All of these people wanted to see the time of the Messiah. They looked to it as a time when the hopes of the whole world would be fulfilled. Jesus said, Abraham rejoiced to see my day. And he saw it and was glad. Isaiah and Jeremiah, Daniel, Ezekiel, Hosea, and all the prophets, I think is who he's talking about here. They wanted to see the Messiah. But these, his disciples, those old fishermen and their kindred, the poor of the earth, he let them see. Then in verse 18, he said, hear ye therefore the parable of the sower, because you're going to know what I'm talking about. This is the interpretation of the parable. Mark says, Know ye not this parable? If you don't know it, how will you know any parable? That could mean that it was relatively easy to understand if you had any spiritual discernment. We'll quickly go through the explanation. And I hope and pray the Lord will speak to your heart as we look at this. In verse 19, when anyone hears the word of the kingdom, and by the way, I've told you this, we talked about it at length. We're still preaching the gospel of the kingdom. Jesus said it's going to be preached unto all nations for a witness, and then shall the end come. When one hears the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receives seed by the wayside. There are four kinds of people that are represented by the ground in this parable of the sower. And the first is this wayside hearer. It's talking about a path through the country. It's been walked on and beaten down until it's hard as this tabletop. When a person hears it and doesn't understand it, he's like that old stony, beaten down path. And just as soon as it rings in his ears, the devil is standing nearby to snatch it away, lest he hear any more of it. God is sovereign. And there's no question in my mind that God directs that he takes it away, because it was not the purpose of God that this man ever be saved. He doesn't understand it. His affections are not touched. His judgment is not informed. He remains as faultless and as unconcerned as ever. And he pays really no attention to it, because it's there and then it's gone. Not receptive to the seed. So the devil comes. If it's not Satan himself, it's one of his imps. There to snatch away that which was sown. I think I've seen a lot of people like that. No matter how pleading and even weeping you preach that they need to look to Jesus as a Savior, they don't hear a word. And they walk out of the building as condemned as they ever were. Now, let's look at verse 20 and 21. But he that received the seed in the stony places, the same as he that heareth the word, and anon, that is, immediately with joy receiveth it. But hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while? For when tribulation and persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. Stony ground here. I think he has some natural understanding of what he hears, That sounds like a good idea, a good thing. Everybody needs some religion. So, immediately as he hears it, he gives assent to it. And I think he believes that historically, yeah, there was a Christ. There was a Jesus who lived on the earth. He was a great teacher. And no doubt he did a lot of the things he's talking about. I believe that. But there's no heart work. It's like the rock in a stony ground. The natural hardness of the heart continues. It remains unbroken by the word. Without any true sense of sin, no repentance, he's destitute of spiritual life. His profession is done in haste, immediately, with a flicker of affection, a little head knowledge, but his profession doesn't last long. And it doesn't prove honorable. Seen those? I've seen them. He has no root in himself. The incorruptible seed is not implanted in his heart. He has not the truth of grace in his heart. Oh, he heard. He made a profession. He's a hearer of the word, a professor of religion. He showed some outward respect for the word and the preachers. And so he continues for a while. I'll live this. I'll be a good church member. But by and by, tribulation arises because of the word. Because of the word. The word offends him. He hadn't heard about the trials. He hadn't heard about being separated unto God. He hadn't heard about laying aside all the weight and the sin that doth so easily beset him. And when those things are preached, it offends him. He's offended at the cross. He shrinks back from it. He doesn't care to take it up and follow Christ, but he drops his profession. He apostatizes and falls away and comes to nothing. Isn't that what it says? It is. Listen, preachers, you can just put this down as a truth. The most of the people that you preach the word to will not hear you. But some will, for sure. Thank God for those sheep that will. Verse 22. He also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world, the care of this world, the anxieties of this life, what I have to do in this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, he that loves silver will never be satisfied with silver. They choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. This person is not a reviler of religion. He doesn't persecute the saints. But he outwardly makes a profession and says, I love the word. He's outwardly reformed. He quit smoking and chewing and beating his wife. Doesn't cuss anymore. Took off her mini skirt, put on a maxi skirt. Cleaned up her life. But there's no work of grace that has broken up the hard fellow ground of the heart and plowed it so that this person is truly before God contrite. The thorns were underground, and so they appeared later. Listen, the care of this world, not another world, nor care about spiritual things in this world, but an anxious and immoderate care of those things which are thorns and very perplexing, and they distress people themselves, and they become tight and committed and burning with desire to follow those things. It's so important. And the deceitfulness of riches. Listen, there's nothing wrong with riches, but the love of money and the deceitfulness of riches is another thing, where people are consumed with it and grabbing and clutching to get everything they can. I've got to be at a certain level. And if I'm not at that level, I don't know what I'll do. Mark adds the lust of other things. Luke adds the pleasures of this life. Oh, don't we see this? Many pleasures in this life. There's pleasures in sin for a season. Lust of other things. Many, many worldly lusts and pleasures. Summed up by the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, which are not of the Father, but are of the world and shall pass away. All of this is to the person vain and unprofitable and leads to destruction. And I think there is a great distinction here from the pleasures of that which is to come, which is in our hope, and the joy of serving and walking with the Lord and His people. We're told that these things that creep into a person's mind and heart and consume them choke the word. The word is captured. There's no fruitfulness. There's no increase of the Word of God in the cause of Christ, because this person is among the thorns. He becomes unfruitful. He brings no fruit to perfection. He shrivels up. He finally, these things consuming him to the place to where he shrivels away and withers away and comes to nothing. What can I carry out in my hands? What if I gain the whole world and lose my own soul? Verse 23, look at this quickly and we close. But he that receives seed, notice, into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some an hundredfold, some 60, some 30. The hearer compared to good ground into which the seed fell is a person that hears the word and understands it. He or she has a new spiritual understanding given to them. They feel the power of it in their heart. They're enlightened and animated by it. It has an application made to them by the Spirit of God. And they begin to understand this is worth more than anything, anywhere. This are the true riches. I believe we can, as we study the scriptures, understand that this ground was prepared first before the seed was sowed into it. This person no longer struggles with what if. He don't struggle with it's going to cost me. He don't struggle with all of those things. His eye is upon Jesus. And he said, I must give away all that I have. In my mind, everything is behind me, even my own life. Lord, take me and use me as you see fit. I've purposed to obey you. I've purposed to follow you. I'm going to be baptized. I'm going to join one of your churches, and I'm going to be faithful by your grace until I'm dead, until I'm out of here. I'm going to live an honest and fruitful life as best I can, you being my helper. And this person, bless your heart, is a fruit bearer. He begins to bear fruit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, meekness, these things which are no law against. Those things are manifest in his life. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, meekness, temperance. Oh, you don't even have to tell this person, I know it's right to live right. I know it's right to be separated. I know it's right to be faithful because God is beginning a good work in him and is bringing it to consummation. He'll always be there. For years, I wondered, well, can't some of these wayside, stony ground, thorny people be saved? It's just a few. It's just a few. They bring, and the evidence is fruit. Fruit. What's your life characterized by? When people see you as you go about your daily life, is it characterized by love, joy, peace, meekness, temperance, these things? Is it? Is it? You answer the question. You answer the question. We're not talking about winning souls. The Lord does that. You win the people after they're converted and turn them around from their sin. But you can't convert anybody that way to salvation. That's the work of God. I'm so glad you're here today. I'm glad I had the opportunity to preach to you. Now listen to this one verse and I'm done. Jesus said, "You've not chosen me, but I've chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit and that your fruit should remain." You're not going to lose that. That whatsoever you ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. Are you a fruit bearer? God bless you. Good to be with you today.